Welcome to Getting Connected. Good to have you here tonight. We're excited about this series that we're involved in, Getting Connected. And for you that have been a part of it, you know that it's a part of a four-part series that is designed for Church on the Rock North, for new members as well as old alike and new Christians, to help them get connected to four key areas in their life. Number one, getting really connected to God. That's so important. We've talked about that. Number two, getting connected to the membership or the family of God and becoming a real committed member to Church on the Rock North. That's so vitally important as well. And then tonight we're going to talk about getting connected to the ministry that God has for you. It's going to be an exciting night. And then next time we get together, we'll talk about getting connected to the overall mission that God has for all of us. And that is to win our world to Jesus Christ. So we're glad you're here tonight. I want you to enjoy yourself. I want you to put on your student hat today. I want you to pretend in a sense that you're in class, that you're preparing for a big exam tomorrow, because that'll be the format for tonight. It's not just preaching or kind of inspirational. There's going to be a lot of information. So get ready. We're going to have a good time, but it's going to be some studious effort on your part. Therefore, you need four things. Number one, you need your outline. If you don't have an outline, hold your hand up. Somebody will get you an outline. Number two, you need a pen to fill that in. So make sure there's one in the chair around you somewhere. Find a pen. Get ready. You're going to need both of these. And then also, later, you're going to need, and you may already have this in your hand, to take home with you, and I'll talk about it more, a shape profile, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And even as important, and more importantly than all that, you need your Bible. So if you've got those four things in hand, we're ready to go tonight to talk about discovering the ministry that God has for you here at Church on the Rock North. Let's pray together and let's ask God to bless our time, and then we'll jump right into the middle of this great series. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that it is living and active in our life. And we pray tonight that you would empower us, Lord God, to hear the Word of God and respond to what you have to say to us. And Lord, to be able to apply and appropriate what your Word means and should work in our life in. Let us appropriate the truths that we hear tonight in a very real way. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You know, when you talk about your ministry, that thought ministry evokes a lot of, you know, maybe misconceptions. Most people look at me and they say, well, he's the minister. Well, we're going to learn tonight that we all have a ministry. We all have a responsibility. We all have a particular way that God has made us to perform and to minister in his church family. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Look at your notes. I want you to see kind of our keynote verse here. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to see it in a number of places tonight. And it says this, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, tonight you need to understand something. You've been given gifts and graces by God. We just need to unlock them and learn what they are and then begin to appropriate them in our life for the purpose of really being a great blessing to the body of Christ. So with that in mind, here's the goal. Follow along with me in your notes. Here's the goal of this class. And that is this, that you will discover, each and every one of you will discover that you have a unique design, and that you not only discover that, but you commit yourself to developing and using your God-given, write it down, gifts and abilities. We all have gifts and abilities that God has given us. And our goal for this class tonight is that you would begin to discover them and begin to unlock them in your life. You see, my job, according to the Word of God, in Ephesians chapter 4, is to equip you and to help you discover your gift and the ministry that God has for you, and equip you to do the work of the ministry. You're a minister. In fact, I want you to tell somebody close to you, you are a minister of Jesus Christ. Just tell them right now, because that's what you are. We are all born and created by God to do His will and to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now remember this, we learned this a couple of weeks ago, that the pastor and staff and elders here, we're really the administrators of ministry. It's the people who are the ministers. And so when you get that understanding, it will help you. Most people come, oh, he's the minister. No, we're all ministers. We'll learn that. As Peter said, we all have a gift and we should minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, as we get started tonight, here's what we need to understand about ministry. The Bible talks about ministry in a number of different ways. And in fact, one of the words minister is also translated serve. But the Greek there is diakonos. It's where we get the word deacon. And that really means a servant. It's not some religious hierarchy, but it's servanthood. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about ministry. So as we get that in our heart, realize ministry is using whatever God has given you to serve Him and to serve the needs of others. That's what ministry is all about, and it's exciting to get a hold of it. And I want you to kind of get a grip on the undergirding principle of what it's all about. This will help you discover the gifts and the ministry that God has for you. Fill in this blank. Your ministry is determined by your makeup. I'm not talking about the ladies' makeup. I'm talking about how God made you, how He designed you. When you begin to look inward and discover who you are in God and how He created us, and we're all individuals and we're all unique, and as we learn that, it will help us understand the ministry that God has for us. What God made you to be determines what He intends for you to do. And so when you learn how God created you, and how he has designed you, it will help you understand what He wants you to do. That's why here at Church on the Rock, we don't follow some kind of mundane format of plugging people into places. We focus on the individual approach. That's you, that's me. And we don't use the institutional approach, which is, hey, we got positions to fill and we grab people and plug them into positions. You know what? You end up with round pegs and square holes. And so we don't want that. We want you to find your place, and we want to help you as an individual discover the ministry that God has for you. And so with that in mind, and this is the reason we need you to find your place, because there's a multitude of ways that we minister to people. But let me just tell you three. We minister, number one, to their physical needs. Jesus taught us that if we brought bread or water to those in need, we were actually doing it unto Him. What's He teaching us? That we need to minister to the physical needs of people. Number two, we minister to the emotional needs of people. People have emotional needs. We're created as emotional beings. And as a result, through the walk of life that we have, there's needs that come into our hearts. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. That's ministering to the emotional needs of people. But more importantly even, we minister to the spiritual needs. We are men and women who God has given the Word of the Lord in our heart, and people around us have spiritual needs. In fact, Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 5, he said He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in imploring people to be reconciled to God, to be spiritually reconnected to God. That's what we've been talking about. And now we're learning, as we've gotten connected to God and connected to the local church, that God wants to connect us in ministry to the needs of others. So there's a lot of needs out there, and the body of Christ needs you. We need you to find your place, because there are people who have needs. And the thing we need to understand about how God created us as ministers, as people who have a gift to give, it needs to take top priority in our life. Sadly, though, many times people look at God as someone who meets their needs. But you know what? When God met our needs, He met our needs so we could help others and help meet their needs. And so our position and responsibility of ministry should take top priority. Now, I want to share with you some important principles about why it's so important to find the place that God has for you and begin to fulfill that responsibility in ministry. Number one, as we've already said, you've been created for ministry. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Ephesians 2:10, where Paul said this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are created by God to fulfill His kingdom purpose. That means it needs to be top priority in our life. People function best when they find the place that they're created to be plugged into. And so we're created for ministry. Number two, we've been saved for ministry. That's why God saved you. He didn't save you just to get you to heaven. I thank God I'm on my way to heaven. But the Bible says here in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, it is He who saved us and chose us for His holy work. The reason you were redeemed by God is so you could carry this word of reconciliation and this ministry that God has graced you with to other people. And we've been called for ministry number three. It's a calling. Most people don't realize that. They think about, you know, working in the nursery or serving in some, you know, area of the church is just a responsibility. It's the calling of God on our life. And so we need to embrace that calling. And you see many scriptures there that reveal that. But as we've already said, number four, we've been gifted for ministry. And that's what I want you to begin to discover today is the gifting of God in your life, because you have a gift. And as we unlock it in a few moments, and as you begin to think about it tomorrow and the next day, it'll begin to become exciting to you to realize I've got a special gift to minister to the body of Christ. But number five, this is a serious one though. We've been commanded to minister. It's a command of God upon us. In fact, Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, take heed to the ministry you've received from the Lord and fulfill it. That sounds kind of like a command to me. And so as disciples, we're followers of Christ. And so we need to take the command of God seriously. In fact, as we move into the next week's class about our mission, we'll realize that the Great Commission is a command of God. It's not the great suggestion. It's the Great Commission. It's the command of God. Go into all the world and make disciples. And so we've been commanded to minister. Number six, you're to be prepared to minister. That's what we shared in Ephesians 4. And that's what I'm doing tonight. And that's what I, as well as other leadership members of our church family do when we stand up and teach and preach the Word of God. We're endeavoring to equip you. My responsibility, according to Ephesians, is to equip you and to prepare you for the ministry. So take this class seriously tonight and realize I'm being equipped by God, by the under-shepherds of this church and the leaders of this church to fulfill God's kingdom purpose in my life. Number seven, and this helps us understand the priority of our ministry. The church needs your ministry. You really are needed by God. In fact, as we learn and as we'll read in a few moments, that you were created with ministry, and that if you don't fill that need, there will be areas of the ministry in the church family that will go unmet. We need you. Number eight, you're to be accountable to God for the ministry. God requires us to be accountable. In fact, Romans 14, verse 12 says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. You know, one day we'll stand before God and give an account for how we live life on planet Earth, how we responded to the gift He gave us, how we took it and used it and ministered it, as Peter said, to the body of Christ. We'll give an account for that. And so it's important to realize. But the exciting thing tonight, and number nine, you can fill this in, you will be rewarded for the ministry that God has given you. And so that's exciting to think about as well. And Colossians 3 talks about the fact that we'll receive an inheritance from the Lord if we walk faithfully in the gift of God for our life. Now, turn in your Bible. I hope you have your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is a great illustration of the church being equated to our body. And I'm going to read this entire passage, and I want you to follow along with me. I'm reading out of the New King James. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin in verse 12, though I would encourage you to read this entire chapter. When you go home tonight or this week in your devotional time, really look this chapter over a little more closely. But let's read it, and I want to give you some key thoughts as you think about your responsibility to the body of Christ as a minister. Let's read this illustration. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for he said, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. He goes on to say, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, that's us, by the way, He has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye just cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Everyone say necessary. They're necessary. That's important to know. And then he goes on to say, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, then all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Everyone say that. We are the body of Christ. That's so powerfully true. He said, now we are the body of Christ and members individually. Wow, that's a mouthful. There's a lot we can learn from that passage of Scripture, but let me just give you a few bullet points here to help you. Here's some things we learn from this great illustration of the church being equated and likened to the body, our physical body. Number one, we learn every member is a minister in Christ's body. Every one, every part, each one is important. And so you've got to embrace that. We also learn every member has a different function. You know, that would be a little boring if we all did what everybody else did. But we all have a different function. We also learn every member's ministry is vitally important. You're important to God. The ministry that God has given you is important. In fact, he said the things we think are not that important are really very important. I wish I had time to illustrate that a little more, but suffice it to say, you're very important to God. And the ministry he's given you is very important. We also learn that every member belongs to the others. The eye just can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Why? We need one another. We belong together. One other passage of Scripture says we belong in God's household with every other Christian. So to help you get a handle on that today, this is what I want to share with you. It's an acrostic. And the acrostic is this. It's the letters S-H-A-P-E. It's your shape. Remember, we were talking about how God created you. That's the acrostic, and that's what we want to look at tonight. It'll help you get a handle and get a grip on being able to explore the gift that God has given you and the ministry He has for you, looking within and seeing how you're made. In fact, Job said this. He said, your hands, O God, formed me and shaped me. So that's kind of the foundation of this class. Now, this is your responsibility. I can't squeeze out your ministry for you, but you know what? You've got to look within and begin to determine how God created you and begin to function and flow in that. The letter S stands for spiritual gifts. We'll look at that in a moment. How has God gifted us? The letter H stands for our heartbeat. That means our passion. What gets us up in the morning? What puts a smile on our face? The passion of our heart. What do you just love to do for God? That's the letter H. The letter A is your abilities. You know, we all have natural abilities and God-given abilities, but, you know, some of my abilities are not your abilities, but the Bible says there are different abilities to perform service in the house of God. When you look at the abilities that you have, natural God-given abilities that were born with you, what are your natural talents? Think about it. And then your personality. We all have different personality, and we'll talk about that as well. And then the letter E is your experiences. Your experiences are so valuable in discovering the ministry that God has for you. Not just your bad experiences, but your good experiences. And we'll look at that as well. And that's your shape. And so that'll help you be able to look into your life and see how God shaped you. Let's jump into this acrostic, your spiritual gifts. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:1, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So tonight, this is not an exhaustive study of spiritual gifts. I'm going to give you a little overview quickly to help get you started on the journey of discovering your spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a special ability or abilities given by the Holy Spirit to every believer to be used to minister to others and therefore build up the body of Christ. And so understand that. What's your gifts for? What are spiritual gifts for? Well, letter A, it's not for your benefit, but for the benefit of others. God has gifted you, not just for you, but for others. Somebody say, for others. There's that 1 Peter 4:10. It's another different translation. Each one of you, as a good manager of God's different gifts, must use them for the good of others, the people around you. God has gifted you for them. Letter B, your gifts are not only for others, but what they work together to do is produce maturity and stability in the church family. That Ephesians 4:11 that we talked about reveals that truth. And when we look to the Word of God, we will discover that when we find our place of ministry, it creates stability and maturity in the body of Christ. Now, let's unwrap our gifts a little bit. Let me kind of give you a little understanding from a biblical standpoint. When you think about the spiritual gifts and the gifts of the Spirit, there's really two categories. Number one is the motivational gifts. We'll look at that in a moment when we talk about our heartbeat. But then number two, there's spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we want to look at that in just a moment as well, the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And so get a grip on the Word of God here in a moment. But let me give you this thought as we jump into spiritual gifts. Just remember this. It's easier to discover your gifts through ministry than to discover your ministry through gifts. In other words, I encourage you to get involved in ministry somewhere and your spiritual gifts will begin to unlock in your life and you'll begin to see more and more how God gifted you in your life. And so that's so important to understand. Spiritual gifts. Here we go. Let's look at them quickly. Number one, there are 9 spiritual gifts, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Let's read this together as well. It says this, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." See, it's for others. "For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." There's the gifts of the Spirit in a nutshell. There are 9 of them. Let me break it down into 3 categories quickly. Again, this is a quick overview. So just fill in the blanks with me as we lay a little foundation of spiritual gifts. Number one, the revelation gifts. It's a good category. And here they are. Write it down. The word of wisdom. That's spiritual insight into the true nature of things, not gained by study or service. The word of wisdom, not natural wisdom, but insight of the Spirit. Number two, the word of knowledge. Spiritual revelation of certain established facts, not learned by natural means. That's a gift of the Spirit. I bet some of you have operated in that and did not even know it was the gift of the Spirit working in your life. It was like something you knew but didn't know why you knew it. Number three, the discerning of spirits. Supernatural ability to determine the spirit behind a person or persons, both good or evil. Some people think discernment only works in the negative, but it also works in the positive. Some of you operate in that and don't even realize it's a gift of the Spirit. You walk into a room and you meet someone and something on the inside of you has either an alarm go off or maybe just a real, what I call the divine okie-dokie. You just sense, oh, I'm in the right place with the right people. That's the discernment of spirits. That's the first category, revelation gifts. The second category is power gifts. People like to talk about this. And these are the gifts that do something. The revelation gifts are gifts that reveal something. The power gifts are gifts that do something. Here they are. Gift of faith, a complete assurance of God's absolute ability, willingness, and intention to act in a given situation. Number two, the working of miracles. The God-given supernatural ability to reverse or suspend natural laws in specific situations. The working of miracles. God's a God of miracles. And number three, healing. The God-given ability to bring healing to the physically and spiritually infirm without the aid of natural means. Those are the power gifts, the gifts that do something. And now the last category is the inspiration gifts. Those are gifts that say something. What do they say and how do they work? Well, here they are. Number one, prophecy. Prophecy is supernatural utterances of the Spirit through a person for the purposes of edification, exhortation, and comfort to the body of Christ. That's prophecy. And then tongues. You know, in the book of Acts, the Bible says when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. But Corinthians here says divers tongues in King James, or different kinds of tongues. Well, that means different languages, of course, but it also refers to the fact that there are two types of tongues in the body of Christ. That's a personal prayer language. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Jude said in verse 20, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's our personal prayer language that God gives us. Romans 8 talks about the fact that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays through us with groanings too deep for words. But the second tongue is what I'll call the corporate tongue, and it is to be linked with this next inspiration gift of interpretation. And it's a tongue that's given in the church service or in a gathering of believers, a message in tongues, if you will. And then we're to pray for an interpretation. And those two equal prophecy. An interpretation is simply supernatural insight and understanding and declaration of a message in tongues. So there's the gifts of the Spirit in a nutshell. Now, you need to ask yourself, how are these things operating in my life? And begin to hunger after them, and we'll talk about that more later. But just suffice it to say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, Paul the Apostle said that I desire that you all, and we should all desire spiritual gifts. And begin to hunger for our spiritual gifts. That's the first part of this acrostic in discovering who you are and your gift and your shape. It's the letter S. It stands for spiritual gifts. The next one is H, the letter H. It stands for our heartbeat. That is our passion. What is our passion? What gets us up in the morning? Think about that for a moment. You know, when you look around you, there's certain people that have passion about different things. It may be technical things that people are very passionate about. I'm not very passionate about technical things, but you may be. You know what? You need to learn how that fits in the body of Christ. You see, our passion or our heart determines why we say the things we do. The Bible says in Matthew 12, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Our passion determines, our heartbeat determines why we feel the way we do. The word, Hebrews 4 says, the Word of God examines the thoughts and motives of the heart. And number 3, our passion and our heartbeat determines why we act the way we do. And so, you ever wonder why certain things just get you revved up? That's your passion. And when you discover that, when you begin to see what your real heartbeat is, not everybody's heartbeat and passion is like yours, because you're unique, remember? It'll help you begin to discover how God made you and help plug you into the position and the place that God has for you in ministry. And then, as we realize that, we come to the Romans 12 passage, which is the motivational gifts. Okay, the motivational gifts are a real biblical way of looking at our heartbeat, the way God made us. And so look quickly to Romans chapter 12 and let us just look at this for just a moment. And I'm going to outline very quickly the motivational gifts, which really define many times our passion in life. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we are members in the body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us," and here they are, "let us use them." He lists them. He said, "Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." We'll learn that that's a little different than the spiritual gift of prophecy in just a moment. "Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." That's what many call the motivational gifts. And you know, when you look back even at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, our keynote verse, it's singular in this passage. It says, every man has received the gift. I believe he may be talking about our motivation here, because we can operate in many different gifts of the Spirit, but most of us, I should say, and probably all of us, function through one primary motivation or motivational gift. List them. Let's put them down. Prophecy, the motivation to reveal the true nature of man by speaking God's truth through love. It's just a desire to be a proclaimer of God's Word. You know, I do that, but as I'll share with you in a moment, that's not my primary motivation. The next one is serving. The motivation to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. Some of you are wired that way. You know it. You just went, oh, that's me. That's your primary motivation. And then there's one of teaching. Teaching and kind of digging deep into the Word of God. That is the motivation to search out and validate truth which has been presented. Then exhortation, the motivation to stimulate and build up the faith of others. Then number five, giving. The motivation to entrust personal assets to others for the expansion of God's kingdom in the earth. Leadership, the motivation to coordinate and administrate the activities of others for the achievement of kingdom purposes. And then mercy, the motivation to identify with and bring comfort to those who are in distress. Those are the seven basic motivational gifts according to Romans chapter 12. And you know, I know what mine is. You may know what yours is. But understand this. Every believer normally moves and operates through one primary motivational gift. Now, I've learned over the years that mine is exhortation. Now, that's what I'm doing here tonight. I'm exhorting you. But everything I do kind of flows through that gift. You know, when I preach, it's through exhortation that I preach. And when I teach, it's through exhortation. That's just the motivation of my life. And most of you know my wife, Beverly, and you could probably figure out her motivational gift. I know it very well. It's mercy. In fact, today, you know, it's one of those cold days here. And Matthew, who lives with us, Matt, he was going out to work. It's really cold. And, you know, Matt's a grown young man. And she said, it's cold outside. And he said, yeah, you got a coat? Yeah, I've got a coat. And do you have, you know, yeah, I've got everything. She said, do you have any gloves? He said, no. And she said, oh, you need gloves. You've got to have gloves. And I said, Beverly, he's a grown man. If he wants gloves, he can have gloves. If he doesn't want gloves, he doesn't have. And, but what was that? That was her mercy gift going to work. She's motivated that way. And so those are the motivational gifts. Just a quick little suggestion to you. If you'd like a book that'll help you kind of discover your strengths, which I think helps you discover your motivation, it's a book called Now Discover Your Strengths. It's by Marcus Buckingham. It's not a Christian book, but it's just a book to help you identify the strengths that are in you and really help you put a finger on the heartbeat of your life and the motivational gift that God has for you. And so we all have gifts. We all have motivational gifts. We all have things working within us, a heartbeat and a passion. Now the letter A, very quickly, it talks about our abilities. We all have certain abilities. Some things I can do pretty good. Some things I can't do very well. Some things you can do great that I can't do great. There's people in here who have great abilities when it comes to computers and so on and so forth. That's not me. But the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 12:6, there are different abilities to perform service. And God uses our abilities to help us discover who we are and the gift of God within us. So when you look at your spiritual gifts, your heartbeat or your passion, and your abilities, and there's some listed just to kind of help you, but I got a feeling you probably know some of your strengths. Some people think, well, I don't have anything to offer. Come on, look a little closer. There's some abilities, some gifts, some things that God has given you, some abilities to help in the family of God, that if you will use them, it will be a benefit to the body of Christ. And then the letter P in this shape acrostic is personality. You know, some people have accused some of not having much personality. But you know what? We just need to discover the personality that God has given us. And it's our particular temperament that we have. There's books been written about your temperament and how to find out how you're wired. And you can do that if you like. And, you know, God has wired our temperament all in unique ways. But, you know, your temperament helps you determine where you need to be serving. If you're an outgoing, gregarious kind of person who's always got a smile on his face, ready to shake a hand, we might need to put you in the greeter ministry. You get the picture. You begin to understand how your personality works. You know, if you have a personality that has a real patient, caring, kind, serving kind of thing, we might need to put you in the nursery work and help the children, because that's the kind of temperament needed for those areas. And so as you begin to unlock your personality, in fact, there's a little kind of a almost a little fun thing you can do in your notes to kind of help you understand a little bit about who you are. You probably already know these, but, you know, introverted or extroverted, you can kind of discover where you are on the chain there. Extreme, average or mild, self-controlled or self-expressed. Routine or variety. You just kind of can learn, oh, now I'm understanding a little bit more about my personality. Now, here's a little warning. Be careful not to confuse relational or emotional weaknesses with personality. A lot of people do that. In other words, some people may be really timid and fearful, and they think that's their personality. No, that could be potentially a character weakness. Maybe something you got from your past that was unhealthy for you. And maybe you need to find a way of getting through that to be able to discover the real, you know, person that you are, and that you're not timid or you're not fearful. And so there's ways to do that. You know, Tim LaHaye years ago wrote a book called The Spirit-Controlled Temperament, and he defined four types of personalities and temperaments and kind of help us discover that. You can follow through that if you so desire. The content of this message here is just to get you thinking about who you are and the personality that God has given you. And that'll help you discover who you are in the ministry that God has for you. And then finally, it's the letter E. It's life experiences. Our experiences that we have in life help us, when we look back, they help us discover our ministry. And we'll learn that many times, even the bad things God uses. Look what Paul said in Romans 8:28. He said, "And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose." All things? Absolutely all things. So here's four types of experiences that you can look to gain insight to help you discover how God shaped you. Number one, your past spiritual experiences. What has God done in your life in the past? Some of you have had some profound experience with God. Those experiences shape you and help you discover who you are and how you best fit in the body of Christ. And even your past painful experiences. I know people don't like to talk about the pain much, but the Bible does. In fact, you know this, God never wastes a hurt. If we'll let Him, He'll never waste one hurt that you've ever experienced. He will use it for His glory to help you discover the gift and the grace that God has for you to minister to others. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, "God wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials." And why does He do that? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort God has given to us. God never wastes a hurt, my friend. And your past painful experiences, as you look back, "Oh, I don't want to do that." You know, once you get through the hurt and you begin to realize God will use those experiences to help me minister and serve in the body of Christ. But not only that, your past educational experiences. Some of you have a broad education in different areas. It may not necessarily be a theological education, but things you've learned and know, they fit together in who you are to help you find your shape in the person you are. And so just understand that and realize that, hey, my educational experience, you know what? God wants to use it for the glory of God. Or, hey, even your lack of educational experience helps you find your place. And then finally, your past ministry experiences. You've all ministered in different ways, whether it's to one person or even to thousands. And you take all those experiences and you look to them and you'll discover more about how God created you and shaped you for service. Shape, my spiritual experiences, my spiritual gifts. H, my heartbeat. A, my abilities. P, my personality, and the letter E, my experiences. That when you begin to look internally and begin to discover your shape, it will help you understand the ministry that God has for you. You'll be able to plug into the body of Christ in a greater way. Now, here in your notes, I've got a list of a number of different ministry opportunities. You can look that over at your discretion. And you know, there may be some not here that God wants you to raise up, but there's all kinds of ways to plug in and minister in the body of Christ. The last thing I want you to do tonight before we go, I want you to take this commitment, this ministry commitment, and I want you to look it over, because you know what? Here at Church on the Rock North, we raise the bar of commitment. We're not lowering the bar of commitment. And this is our ministry commitment. It says, "Having committed myself to the habits essential for spiritual maturity, as well as a commitment to church membership, and agreeing with the Church on the Rock North ministry statement, I commit to discovering my unique shape for ministry and serve in the area that best expresses what God made me to be. Number two, demonstrate a servant's heart by serving in secondary ministries as the body needs me. Number three, cooperate with other ministries and place the greater good of the whole body over the needs of ministry. If that's your heart tonight as a member of Church on the Rock North, I encourage you, I challenge you to sign your name and date this, not only for yourself, but for the leadership team who will be able to say, this brother, this sister has been through connecting to your ministry and has made a commitment to discover who they are and begin to serve God in that capacity here at Church on the Rock North. God bless you tonight. I know I've given you a lot, but I know as you take this information and begin to digest it this week and begin to look at it and begin to ponder it, God's going to even use it more in your life. What I want you to do tonight is to take your, this is for you, it's not for me. It's a shape profile, and it follows the outline of your course that you just went through, your class. You go along and fill in the blanks for your sake. It'll help you. It's kind of a worksheet to help you discover your shape and realize who you are in Christ. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about your future in ministry here at Church on the Rock. God bless.